In the Great Hall of Justice, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created by the cosmic legends of the universe. Josiah Leroy of the Geekiverse, Robbie Palmer of Artful Gremlins, David Duncan of Synthaholics, Aaron O'Brien of Synthaholics. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind. This is the Nerds of the Round Table. Welcome!
That was absolutely that was so excellent.
Thank you.
I've never had an intro like that. That
Rock
was amazing.
On. Super friends.
That was so good. Oh my gosh. All right, we got to top it every time now.
Oh my. All right. He set the bar fucking high.
Really high.
He's such a jerk. Gosh.
So we have come together, all of these wonderful podcast personalities, to give you an information and reviews and thoughts of the Lego Batman movie. Have you seen it? Do you want to see it? Do you want us to talk to you about it? Too late. You are listening to it now.
You know, Aaron, before we get started, I think that we all should sit here and bow our heads for a quick moment and say a brief prayer of thanks to our Savior.
Batman.
Our Batman, who art in Gotham, cowled be thy mane. That's it.
So that's about it.
So thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next month.
So we got Josiah the Geekiverse. Josiah, anything going on fascinating and fun in the Geekiverse?
Lots of Nintendo Switch coverage for
you guys are blowing up on that.
Having a lot of fun. I cannot wait to go play Zelda. So hopefully I get a chance to do that shortly. We have Geek Madness, which is our NCAA-type bracket coming up here. Also, personally, I have this weird obsession lately for listening to Tears for Fears.
They're a great band.
Bring it up in a group setting. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, everybody wants to rule the world.
Hashtag Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears.
You bring that up, and immediately I want to go back home and watch Donnie Darko, because I swear the soundtrack for that movie is like all Tears for Fears.
Something happens, and I'm head over heels for Aaron.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Got awkward here. No, they're a great band.
Thank you, because I can't go that high.
They're a good band.
I had a tuck up there to do it, but yeah, got it.
Just gotta move like this.
Right there, I hit it.
I'm here all day, folks.
I'm adjusting your tape, Josiah.
You should have taken your waitress.
How high do you want to go?
Robbie Palmer from Artful Gremlins. What's going on in your world, in the Artful Gremlin world?
More of the same. Couldn't be models. Still be getting released every single Monday. We've been on a break with Nerdynomicon, but we're back. And we're hitting it up strong this week. We got two episodes that are being released this week as a little apology to our fans.
Cool.
But we're back. We're going to be hitting it up every single week there. And we're making a lot of progress with our fictional podcast, too. The first one that we're starting production on is Man Seeking Dragon.
Mm.
So tune in to Nerdynomicon every Friday. You're going to be hearing a little bit more about that.
I want to hear that.
Sexy. David, Synthaholics. I know everything is going on in Synthaholics, but why don't you tell me anything different you want to tell us about Synthaholics?
You know what's going on? Okay, well, anyway, Synthaholics, I've been trying to do video content a little bit lately on our channel. I just recently did a Cooking with EU video, where EU is Klingon for blood, and I made Klingon blood wine, and I've also just recently made a Borg sphere, which we're all drinking here, except for Aaron.
I'm not drinking today.
He's sober. We're not on Synthaholics right now, so he's going to be sober.
Right.
I also did an unboxing for the Nintendo Switch video as EU and had a nice little fun flashback. So I know there's a million Switch unboxing videos online right now, but mine's a little bit different. Swords are involved and hacking happens.
David, I love you. We're over here talking about, so we're doing this with our show. We're doing this on our show. David's over there.
Swords!
I made booze and I have a sword. I fucking love you, dude.
So true.
He's just going to throw on a kilt and go to the Highlands and start cutting people down.
Yes!
Freedom! Did you know that Scotland actually had a martial arts native to the country?
What was it? Kick you in the balls?
It's called Fuck You.
Fuck You.
I didn't write that. I stole that from Mike Myers.
Like my Dune joke, I sculled Oosul, which is the base of the balls of the penis.
Yes. Well, let's get to the subject in hand. The Lego Batman movie. Wonderful movie, in my opinion. I had a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go around quick. Just thoughts initial when you saw it. Josiah?
Yeah, wife and I saw it pretty much opening night, I believe. We're huge fans of the 2014 The Lego Movie. Mm-hmm. So seeing Batman in that, you're like, all right, this guy's got to have his own movie, especially with Will Arnett. So I thought it was good overall, not quite hitting the bar of The Lego Movie. I reviewed it for our website as well. So I scored it a little bit lower, but overall, fun. Definitely worth seeing. I'm sure, you know, also if you have kids, they would love it. But us adults who are, well, we pose as adults, but, you know, we love it too. So it was a lot of fun. Will Arnett killed it.
Great. Robbie.
I thought it was a great movie. Agreed. It didn't quite hit the level of the original Lego movie, but it was fun. It was funny. It has the Condiment King in it. So, I mean, it fired on all cylinders. Here's my only thought, and I realize what they're going for. It's a children's movie. You know, it's supposed to be fun for all ages. And this is just me being incredibly selfish. And you and I talked about this off the mics. I think it could have been a lot funnier if it was like even so much as a PG-13 movie. I think they could have gone harder for a lot of the jokes.
Oh, yeah, they could have.
Especially in the Lego format, you know? Give us two versions. Give the family version, give us the fanboy version. Because I think they could have gone a lot harder and made it a lot funnier. But I thought for what it was, I give it a D for delightful.
Nice.
All right.
Well,
David.
I saw the movie. I enjoyed it. I actually liked it more than my girlfriend.
My wife did not like it. She's like, what are you talking about on Nerds Day? I'm like, well, Lego Batman. She's like, sucked.
Hated
so that's
it.
All you got.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, I think. I mean,
my wife.
I guess,
she did a promotional rant on Dune.
I guess part of what the charm of the Lego Batman movie is, I guess for us who've been diehard Batman fans, I assume, our entire lives. I mean, I grew up with the 60s Adam West Batman on television, and this movie even made jokes going all the way back to that.
It did.
So, like, was awesome. There was a little bit of fun stuff for all of us. I guess people who just seen the recent Batman and see this, they probably just didn't care. So I can see why that. But I definitely agree they should have gone harder because the first movie – the first Lego movie transcended any age group. It was great for kids and great for adults.
It was the perfect culmination.
It was. It really was. It had
definitely
that song was super catchy. Even as an adult, that was super.
Everything is awesome.
But Batman didn't have that, and it was
had that cool song at the end.
Don't touch that.
Not that one.
I like the one from the first one better. He's like death. No parents. Oh.
yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was great.
But it just didn't have the same oomph as the first one did. It feel like this one was aiming at kids a lot harder than the first one was.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I think a lot of stuff get missed on the kids because there's a lot of like inside jokes, especially if you're a Batman fan. My feeling when I watched it is I think the pacing was a little off. I think more of any – there was like super hyper super hyperactive action. And it's like you're like, whoa.
I think some of the action was too busy.
It was too much going on. It was very hard to like kind of process. And then they'd have these really long lulls. You know,
nothing was happening. It was
things were happening, but it was a joke, and it just like the pacing was just too fast and then very slow. Too fast, really slow.
I agree.
And that threw me off.
Especially right at the beginning when they're
They're
introducing the Rogues Gallery there, you know? I mean, you slap us in the face with Clayface, with Condiment King, you know, with everybody, with all the C list all the way down to the fucking Z list baddies.
Yeah.
You know? And then when they're in the mental institution, spoilers, it just seemed to drag a little bit more. I mean, you can't save the Z-listers for right then. You know, maybe have a point where all the good villains, all the ones that anybody actually cares about are locked up, and you're left with Calendar Man. You know?
Yeah.
I think that was a joke that was wasted.
No. There's a lot of stuff that I think they missed. But, I mean, for the most part, I think they hit, like, everything, all the cylinders they should have hit. I just think the pacing was a little off. And I don't – here's my thing, because I was thinking about it. The Lego movie, the original one that took everybody by surprise, I think it is because it took everyone by surprise. I think you went and saw it and you did not expect it to be anything really that great. You know, you're like, well, I'll go see a Lego movie. And then you're like, this is hilarious. This is so much fun. It's got so much heart. It's got so much, you know, comedy in it. And this, I think everyone expected it and it just fell just a little short. Just a little short. It wasn't terrible, but.
No, not at all.
I think part of the magic of the first one was that anything Lego could show up in the first one, whereas this one it was just contained to Batman.
Yeah, you're limited to Batman, and you can't Batman's got kind of – he's kind of two-dimensional in some ways. He's just always going to be Batman.
He is.
And they kind of like stretched out at the very end of what Batman's supposed to be. But, I mean, he's still kind of Batman. You can't really get past that.
Something I thought was interesting, like if we're looking at it a little bit deeper too, like the original Lego movie had, I thought, a pretty cool message on top of it being really funny, catching us all off guard a little bit. It was, you know, kind of all like we're all stuck in this mindless – society in a way. Mm-hmm. Think for yourself. Be yourself. I like that. With Lego Batman, it was like kind of like, listen, now family is super important. Yeah. No getting around that. But it just felt a little, not like cheesy, but I didn't love the dynamic between Batman and Robin. And it was like,
oh, that was the best part. Come on.
That was the best part of the movie.
I'm just going to go, I can't look at you in the eye.
I can only look in you in the eye right now.
There are certain parts like that that were funny to me, but certain parts, like, I just did not love Michael Cera's Robin. And I typically do like Michael Cera. I think I like his goofy awkwardness. And this, it just... I was like, I don't care. I don't know. It missed the boat with me. It's not to say it didn't with other people. But,
and that's fair. That's one that I just have to disagree with you on, because I thought his Robin was great. I hated his Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talked about that. Fair enough.
Yeah, we talked about that.
But I guess my thing is, more than anything, is that I think everything was there. I just think it's hard to make Batman into a full comedy when Batman just is very two-dimensional. They don't really change. I mean, they didn't even – they could have played around with him being Bruce Wayne in Batman and people, you know, trying to figure out – or, you know, him trying to hide that he's Batman. Like, that just kind of just, like, was not even addressed, you know.
Even in his own movies, he's really not alone, right?
Right.
Any Batman film, he's either got Superman or he's got a big cast of – very infamous villains. Him being the protagonist or protagonist, I think.
Protagonist.
Callback. That was a different story for me. But,
yeah. So Will Arnett Batman. I mean, everyone's happy with his voicing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I thought he was great with it.
Yeah, he did good. I think so too.
Lost my shit when he had that temper tantrum. It's like no.
Yeah, that was great.
What are you doing, Master Bruce?
No. How about Zach Galifianakis as Joker?
I didn't even know that was Zach Galifianakis. I mean, I thought it was fine. It just, like, the only person who registered on my, like, the names was Will Arnett as Batman. Everyone else, I didn't even pay attention to who they were, so I thought everyone was fine. I don't think anyone was
terrible.
I
didn't think he did terrible. I was a little underwhelmed. I thought he could have, like, pushed it a little harder. I felt like he was just kind of delivering lines. That's just me. I'm not saying he was terrible.
I think it actually goes back into our conversation on the last Nerds podcast.
When we talked about Joker.
I didn't think he overplayed it, and I think the Joker was so bit part almost in this movie.
It was.
And it matched it. Didn't seemingly try to do anything crazy to me, and I was okay with it.
So if he had any more screen time, it wouldn't have worked as much?
I think that's what it is. I think it was a mediocre amount of time, so he was okay. And yeah, because
that's fair.
Just to bring people up to date, what we talked about before is that we feel that people are putting the mantle of the Joker on and taking it so seriously, especially since Heath Ledger knocked it out of the park so well when we had the Suicide Squad. And that iteration of the Joker, I think a lot of people were like, I don't know. A lot of people didn't like that.
Not a fan of Big Daddy J.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people try to take the Joker too seriously. So you think because he didn't do it over the top.
I kind of respected it almost because it was like he didn't try to make it so insane and crazy.
But don't you think he should have been
I think he could have turned it up to 10.
Just a little more.
I agree. He should have turned it up a little.
It might have been harder to understand being a kid's movie. I think a lot of it with the delivery is like kids need to understand what's happening. Same thing, a lot of the delivery was very straightforward.
Yeah.
For everyone. But I mean, you got Batman. But I mean, doing this doesn't really make you harder to understand. But if you like going crazy with the Joker, it's like, I'm going to do this. Things get lost.
I get
He's
you.
Animated.
That's a good point.
Being an animated movie, how much could Zach really do with this outside of the voice? But again, you've got Mark Hamill.
You can do a lot with the voice.
Yeah.
They should have just had Mark Hamill do it. Why not get Mark Hamill to do it?
Maybe they approached him and he was like, I'm.
Maybe because his Joker is just a far more sinister version. I mean, for me, the two sinister versions of Joker was Heath Ledger and then Mark Hamill.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, maybe they just wanted to kidsify it a little bit more.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
That's just a hypothesis.
But, I mean, he was the Joker on the animated series, and I grew up with that when I was a kid.
Again, it's a more sinister version.
Sure.
Dark animation.
But still, it was a kid show. It was Y7 or whatever. True. I watched that growing up after school. Go home, watch Batman.
And now you got the Killing Joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yay, awkward.
Talk about Killing Joke. Batgirl.
Giggity.
Played by Rosario Dawson. Is there any geek movie TV show she's not in nowadays? I mean, how much money she's playing on, just for playing these secondary roles?
Oh,
I
man.
Mean, the woman, something huge coming up.
The woman that walks between two worlds. You know, she's in
Daredevil.
Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and now Iron Fist. She's going to be in Iron Fist.
Brian Fuller won her on Star Trek Discovery, but she was too busy?
I don't know.
I thought he was one of the people he wanted originally.
Mm.
Clerks 2? She was in Clerks 2. Oh, yeah.
People want to cast her as Ahsoka Tano if they ever make an Ahsoka movie, I would totally want to see her as that.
Didn't she say she wanted to? Maybe that was just an article that I didn't read.
I think I dropped that article. We're dreaming of things that didn't exist.
It never stops. This brain, man.
Just,
I don't know.
Well, quick segue here. Aaron, I know that you've read this. What would you think of Rosario Dawson as Fiona from Saga?
That would work pretty well. I don't know. It could work.
I think she's good enough to bring it.
She's got enough talent. I'm just thinking, and I hate to even say this because this is kind of an asshole thing to say. She's getting a little bit older. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But not. Yeah. I don't want to be an asshole. I'm going to shut up right now.
That's fair to say.
No, it is because Fiona's supposed to be younger. So
yeah, and she's probably.
She also is aging well.
No. Yeah, she looks great.
Oh yeah.
No.
Yes.
I am not. Knocking her looks.
Oh, yeah.
She's far above anything.
Sure. I mean, you can still look amazing and still be showing your age. Like Gillian Anderson, you could tell she's older, but I don't give a crap. Like Gillian Anderson, I think she looks better now than she did in the original 90s X-Files. Like she has aged very well.
Yes, she is.
But I mean, I wouldn't want to cast her as a young role because she's clearly not young.
Like Sophia Loren was just beautiful forever. You know, I mean, when older she got, I was still like, man, she is hot.
Courtney Cox. I thought she was drop dead gorgeous even in Cougar Town. Mm. Don't you judge me, Josiah. Yes, I love that show. Don't you judge me.
Here's the big joke for me.
I'll keep my words for another time.
Off the mic.
Alfred, played by Ralph Fiennes. Did not play Voldemort. We had Eddie Izzard, the comedian.
He didn't play Voldemort, too?
I thought he
would have.
No, Eddie Izzard did.
That's disappointing.
I mean, I love Eddie Izzard. If you guys have not caught his comedy, he is off-the-wall funny, but...
Oh, sure. But, I mean, I just was like, you have got Voldemort, and you've got the actor already working on it. Why not have him do both?
So, how did that happen?
It's so weird. Yeah.
Was that a last-second thing, or maybe he was like, nah, I already did that.
Yeah.
Not doing it.
I don't know. It's strange. That wasn't a thing, so whatever.
Jermaine Clement, by the way, if you haven't got to it, I'm sorry if I'm jumping
in. Go ahead.
He was Sauron. Are you guys Flight of the Conchord fans at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a huge Flight of the Conchord
fan.
I've watched that series 100 times. My gosh.
Do we want to just kind of like run down some things in the plot that we thought or in the story itself that was funny? Or do we want to keep that away? Because this is where people, if you haven't seen it, we could spoil things for you.
I think we've already spoiled a bunch of things.
All right.
Yeah.
Too late.
Yeah.
Buckle up, people.
Yeah, I think some of the highlights we've already kind of touched on.
So the beginning of it, obviously.
I like to fight around.
We have basically the Joker amasses all the enemies of Batman all together, and they're going to blow up Gotham City, and Gotham City is going to break apart and fall into a pit that smells like dirty socks or moldy socks. I forgot what he said, but something to that nature.
I don't remember at all.
But yeah, but so and Batman's got to save it. And of course, Batman kicks everyone's ass, you know. But during the fight, Joker says, well, I'm your main enemy. Like, we are arch villains, you know. And Batman's like, I don't do ships, relationships.
I love that conversation because that was one instance where that was like a little bit of a double meaning for relationships that maybe only adults would have understood.
Sure, yeah.
The kids are thinking, no, it's just Batman
ships.
And Joker.
Nope. Yeah, it's so much.
Not so much.
Like, let's keep his options so open.
Also,
that's hilarious.
I also love how, like, who's your biggest foe? Superman. He's a good guy. So?
Yes. Yeah. This movie was a little self-aware for Batman.
Oh, it was extremely self-aware.
Which was really nice to me because, you know, there's things that people like us would probably shred apart in podcasts, and then it's like, oh, they know about it. They're going to mention it right up front, and I love it.
They brought the continuity full, you know, full all the way around. Everything from Batman 66 all the way to Schumacher, you know? It's
everything Batman versus Superman.
Alfred, he's like in 1966 in 2013, and he just goes down the list.
Like he is all the Batmans.
Yes.
It's I like how he kind of did that, where he's like, he stands apart from time, and yet he is all the Batmans through time.
I agree.
With all their memories and stuff, it's hilarious.
Yeah. So after Batman triumphantly beats all the villains at once, he goes back to the Batcave, and they basically show that he's living a very lonely lifestyle. He's got nothing going on. Alfred's concerned for his well-being because he doesn't have any family, friends, any outside interests. And then
that always got to me.
But he loves lobster and rom-coms.
Yeah, exactly. And he eats a lobster whole with the shell on it.
Yeah,
from the microwave. From no less.
What a great little scene.
That always bugged me about Bruce Wayne. His parents die, so the butler takes care of him. Mm-hmm. No cousin Ray Ray pops up.
No family.
Expecting the money.
Yeah. Ray Ray
really?
Wayne.
Ray Ray.
Dude, everyone has a cousin Ray Ray.
Ray Ray.
You make some money, your parents die, Ray Ray's snooping around trying to get a handout. Everyone has a cousin Ray Ray.
Right. That's a good point, of course. I mean, there's some huge holes.
Now you're thinking about Ray from Star Wars. What if her name is Ray Ray?
Ray Ray.
R-E-Y, R-E-Y.
I'm Darth Ray Ray. You gotta change your name.
That's a debate for another time.
So Bruce Wayne has to
Chewbacca.
Go to
All right. What?
Ray Chewbacca. She's got a little Chewy in her.
Listen, Aaron's trying to conduct the show here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Get off your rant. we go to there's a gala that's going to have Commissioner Gordon is retiring, and his daughter Barbara Gordon is taking over. And at this point, Joker crashes the gala, and he comes in look like menacing. He's going to kill everybody or hurt everybody, and he surrenders himself. And the idea that he puts in the mind of Batman by – I'm not going to get into how he does it, but that he could put him into the Phantom Zone, and then – Joker can release all the villains from the Phantom Zone to attack Gotham. So, and this is how he does it. He gets himself captured. So,
I love how the Eye of Sauron's in the Phantom Zone.
Really, like, was that dinosaur in the, just that random dinosaur? Like,
I don't know.
Is that the most evil dinosaur that ever lived? I mean, like.
But I think
the Tyrannosaurus from Jurassic Park, maybe?
I don't know.
I think one of my favorite parts of the movie is like when the beast that's in the water destroys
the Kraken.
Yeah, the Kraken
from Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, he destroys the Eye of Sauron. They got it back away. That's probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
Oh, that is. I laughed my ass off at that.
He's like, oh, crap.
And he just kind of like ducks,
backs away.
Ducks
backs.
He just swims away like, oops. So Joker goes to prison. There's no more crime. But it's funny that everyone's like laughing and dancing. There's no crime. And they're looting the city. And cars are burning and stuff like that. Like, there's no crime. It's great. At the gala too, he stupidly just saying yes to young Dick Grayson, who just meets, and he adopts him without him knowing it. So
good thing no papers are needed in the Lego universe.
It was really easy.
And at that point, Dick Grayson's back at Wayne Manor, and Alfred basically lets him know you have an adopted son. Batman has no clue, and at that point, after that, he lets him down to the Batcave, and Dick Grayson thinks that Batman lives in Bruce Wayne's basement.
Yeah,
and Batman makes the great joke that no. Bruce Wayne lives in Batman's attic.
That was a good joke. I forgot about that one.
It was great.
That was a good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That after we have that point, Arkham Asylum has Joker and all the villains in there, and that's when Batman decides he's going to steal the Phantom Zone camera projector. What I forgot what that thing is called. Is it? It's a camera or something, isn't it?
It's like a projector of some sort.
It's a projector. Yeah. So he So he has Robin go to the Fortress of Solitude with him, and there's a whole Justice League reunion.
Everyone's
the 57th reunion,
yeah.
You know, and they're all...
Except for Batman.
Martian Manhunter is breaking it down.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. And then from there we get the... Robin goes into where he holds the Phantom Zone projector and he steals it. And Batman actually has some kind of love for pride for,
yeah,
for Robin.
A little bit of pride.
Right, right. And
you did exactly what I said. Good job.
And do everything I said. Now backwards. So he does. He goes to – he breaks into Arkham Asylum. Arkham Asylum, he goes and puts he confronts Barbara Gordon, who says he can't use the Phantom Zone projector to put him in the Phantom Zone. Batman ignores her, and then he does put Joker into the Phantom Zone. But then Batman and Robin are put into jail or into the asylum, locked up for what they did. And up in the Phantom Zone, Joker gathers the army and has Harley Quinn steal the Phantom Zone
projector
and brings everyone back into the real world where they start just wreaking havoc on Gotham. And this is, to me, this probably was the funnest part of the whole
yeah,
movie.
Where everyone, but it also got a little bit too crazy at some point. It's almost too much happening at some point, unfortunately. Because if it was toned down like 15%, I think it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But there was just all these extra things flying away. And I'm just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at.
I agree with that. I think we touched on it earlier too. Cinematically, just too busy. And what's funny is the Lego movie was more colorful. So theoretically, it could have been harder to pick apart.
But that's a good point.
You know,
yeah.
Lego Batman is darker in tone because Batman typically is. It's got the black, yellow, whatever else it may be. And it was just a visual blur at times for some of the action sequences.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think the technology, whatever they're doing to make the Lego movies and their computer graphics, I think the technology has gotten better in the couple of years since then. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to do. It's easier to do more stuff. You know, they're doing it. I'm like, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
Of course, George.
That's fair.
George Lucas.
No, sorry.
Well, Barbara Gordon admits that they do need Batman, and they release him from Arkham. Batman jumps into action and gets sort of coerced into using Alfred and Robin and Barbara Gordon to fight all the baddies. Together, they get together. They basically converge on Wayne Manor, where they take out the Eye of Sauron, like you were saying, like... and they do a whole bunch of other damage. But at the one point, Batman decides to send off his friends because he's afraid they're all going to get hurt. And during that point, Batman is put back into the Phantom Zone.
He's by himself.
By himself. And he talks the Phantom Zone computer. I forgot what the creature, the little block.
He's just a little regular block with lights on it. It's pretty cool.
And to send him back, to bring everyone back. And
he agrees to come back himself.
And he agrees to go back himself. And then he has the he brings back his friends. His friends help him capture everybody to put him back into the Phantom Zone. And Batman's going to go back. And the little block thing says, no, you're actually a good guy. You don't have to go. So, and that's basically
good.
That ends.
It's a happy little family moment.
I did enjoy a lot of it. I think it's just a wonderfully done movie. I just think, like I said, I think the pacing's a little off. I think there's just a little things that were just that, and like I think like the tone of it's not as colorful. There's just a couple things that I think did not have, and doesn't have the same openness of joy at the Lego movie had, like in this, there was, don't get me wrong, but didn't have the same tone. And maybe because it's Batman, you know, it's kind of hard to do. So
now I don't think it actually needed that same tone of overt joy that the original Lego movie had. Mm-hmm. Although that was part of the Lego movie's charm. You've got almost a century worth of Batman intellectual property that's just yours for the taking, yours to mock, you know, mm-hmm. not just the cinematic universe, but the video games, the comic books themselves, you know, a massive rogues gallery. And it just felt to me like they had so much material to mock openly or poke fun at, like they did with the Joker, like they did with even the appearance of Condiment King, but they just didn't for whatever reason. It some of the jokes just they would have been funny if it was a live action rom-com instead of Lego Batman. And I think that's why I maintain that they could have gone harder with the Batman jokes because there's so much that could just be specified.
Some things animated, especially in comedy, just don't work. And it's partly due to the animation, and it's partly due to the time they're trying to deliver it in. I don't know if any of you saw Spaceballs, the animated series.
No.
They're getting lots of blank
looks. I didn't
know
they made that.
I didn't know it existed.
You didn't want to know they made that, but unfortunately I did. The first three episodes are a retelling of the movie, and they're terrible. Awful. Because they're trying to fit – three 22-minute episodes to the space of a 90-minute movie. So you're still missing about, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so all the jokes are just delivered way too fast. So none of them land right, at all. And then Lone Star and the princess don't get married at the end, so he can go keep gallivanting as the series goes on. And I guess it gets a little bit better after they recap the movie, but it's just the pacing just wasn't there. Like, Mel Brooks' comedy needs timing. Mm-hmm. Like, just timing is huge in comedy. And for them – and Mel Brooks was part of the series. He voiced the characters. He was the guy behind it. Of course, it's Spaceballs, but it just fell flat to me. And it's just
– Do you think that's just animation or just poor writing or poor production?
Well, it was almost the exact same script. Mm-hmm. It's the timing plus animation.
Mm-hmm. There can be a restriction when it comes to animation just based on what you can express and can't express.
Yeah, facial nuances are just now, do ton.
For every Spaceballs the series, I would raise you a Clerks the Animated Series. Now, granted, only six episodes, but I still find that TV show to be absolutely hysterical. The second episode is a flashback episode to an episode that never even happened. I think that a lot of it does have to do, some might be animation, but you can get past that if you've got good voice actors, if you've got a good script, and if you've got good joke materials.
Yeah. But, Spaceballs, the first three episodes, is the script of the movie, except they change the parts at the end. It's the same script. It's the same lines. It's just delivered poorly because they're under a time crunch.
I agree. I think you can nail the animation. However, it seems like there's less of a propensity to truly exceed expectations or deliver a quality performance. In this case, it's good.
Yeah.
There are certain things that held it back from being great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can see that. I would also raise you a Shrek.
It can be done.
But the thing is, the Lego level of animation isn't to like a regular CGI movie. There's not nearly as much nuance in a Lego movie.
You are limited a bit.
You're limited a lot in a Lego movie as far as how things move and how things work because they're based on Lego pieces.
Well, the box office. As of March 2nd, 2017, the Lego movie has grossed $137 million in the United States and Canada, $93.4 million in other areas of the world, and worldwide it's done $230.4 million. And the production budget is $80 million. So they've
they're good to go.
More than tripled their money, almost quadrupled their money. So
good on them.
The movie is a success.
Yes.
Will we see more Lego Batman
Ninjago
movies?
We'll see Lego Ninjago.
I don't care about that.
I don't either.
I don't care about
until
that.
Until I saw that preview.
No, it looks funny. My kids watch it on Netflix, and it's just the dumbest show, and I hate it. Every time I've watched it, I'm like, this is so dumb.
Is it supposed to be funny? I don't know anything about
it's supposed to be funny.
Okay, gotcha.
It is
so
funny.
The movie trailer that played before Lego Batman, at least for me, I assume it may have played for you guys. Was it in the same vein?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. But I just do not like anything about it.
Okay.
It's just me.
I don't know enough about it.
I've never heard of Ninja. I have no frame of reference for it. So
I'm just kind of sitting here smiling and nodding.
I'm not super interested in seeing it.
There's a bunch of
whoever's speaking, I'm just going to agree with on Ninjago.
Lego Batman should appear in every single Lego movie, just as a joke.
Sure.
Do you think they'll be making more Lego Batman movies?
I think at some point we'll get a sequel. I mean, for what it's worth,
I'd rather see a sequel to the first Lego movie.
Agreed with that.
Yeah, but
they're talking about doing. I don't know how it's going to work out.
I'm fairly certain that's confirmed, but I can't confirm that statement. So moot point. But I would like to see a sequel to that at some point. Mm-hmm. I think obviously it did well enough that Hey, listen, they don't care how well it does critically. It just made what you said, you know, right. triple its budget.
Yeah.
Good to go. They're going to do another
almost
one at some
quadruple
point.
Their budget.
Quadruple. So yeah. I think it's safe to say we'll see that. Maybe it'd be fun to venture into some other properties, but Batman just seems to be so accessible.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about the Lego movie? Anything that hits you bad, good, funny?
The only thing that I really want to say is I can't wait to see what other types of Lego movies they come out with. Again, I don't know about, so let alone I don't care about Lego Ninjaga, but I would love to see a Lego X-Men movie, something like that, or maybe something geared more toward adults, a Lego Slashers movie, and have like Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger, that, you know, right up the lane for adults. I think that would be great.
A Lego
I doubt
50
that they
Shades?
Would do that.
I think you'll be waiting
Lego
a very long 50 time,
Shades.
Robbie.
No. Oh my god!
How about the most inappropriate Lego movies all combined? 50 Shade, hacker slasher movies,
Lego Saw,
yeah,
Lego
Saw.
Showgirls,
Showgirls, everything that you should not put into a movie.
That's the gear toward kids. Just to do it.
I know it'll probably never happen. I'd love to see a Lego Star Wars movie because those Lego Star
cool.
Wars video games were fantastic.
Yeah, they
I
were
was
good.
Going to say it, and then I decided I don't want to see it.
Frustrating, too.
So, yeah, I do. I want my Star Wars to stay right where it is.
I want to see it
okay,
live action.
I can get behind that. That's where I was.
At least for okay. now. Okay. At least for now. Talk to me again in 5 years, but right now I want it to stay where it is.
I agree with
what
that.
What about Lego Lord of the Rings?
You know what? That's a good one because there's not going to be... You
there's
know,
no more Lord of the Rings movies, yeah. not that I know of. So
there shouldn't be any theoretically sequels to that.
I would like to buy your Lego Lord of the Rings movie. No, hell yeah. I would see the hell out of that movie.
Dave,
that's
anything
a good one.
From you?
No, I pretty much said what I want to say. It just wasn't as good as the first one. It was pretty good. But
pretty damn good. Well, so we kind of talked about the Lego Batman movie. Now, let's just dive into our favorite parts of Batman and favorite properties that has come out for Batman. Robbie, I know you're a giant Batman fan.
I am. I'd like you saw my wall clock.
I know you're chomping on the bit. Why don't you kind of like get into a little bit of your Batman groove?
All right. My favorite thing about Batman is by far the Rogues Gallery itself. And that's always the number one thing that I look for in any sort of Batman movie. Because if you really think about it, especially the A-list Batman villains are all black mirrors of not just Batman, but Bruce Wayne himself. Mm-hmm. It's never been more evident than the central thesis of The Killing Joke. The whole idea of the story of The Killing Joke is Batman is literally one bad day away from being the Joker. The Joker just happened to have that one day. Bruce Wayne went this way. The Joker went that way. Mm-hmm. When you've got Two-Face, Two-Face himself is a metaphor for the duality that Batman has inside of him.
Sure.
You know, he's a masked vigilante committing crimes every single night, but he does it in the face of law and order and good. So he himself is a paradox. Mm-hmm. I just love looking at the Rogues Gallery. And
I think any hero has their villains kind of define who they are.
Agreed. And
I think none more so than Batman.
I think Batman's
opinion.
Probably
Batman.
Got some of the
I think
best
is
villains.
Really the one that has that list. You know, when you think of the big bads of comic book heroes, you tend to always think of Batman villains. You know, you think of Joker, Penguin, Catwoman, and help going back to him again, Condiment King. You know, Bruce Wayne loves him some ketchup, and now I'm just being a jackass. But I would say that one thing that I've always loved about the Batman movies that we've gotten is the different iterations of Joker. Now, I may have hated Jared Leto as Joker, but at least we got a new type of
True.
Joker.
Good point.
You know, sometimes you get your Heath Ledgers, which just become fucking religion, man. They hit you in a spot that's both terrifying and amazing, and Heath Ledger's portrayal was just a force of nature. You know, very little difference between the Joker and Hurricane Katrina at that point. And then you get Jared Leto, which is equal parts Big Daddy Kane and the Kool-Aid Man. Because seriously, how many walls can you burst through in one fucking 90-minute movie? But it also makes me wonder, you know, what they're going to be doing in the future. Because you've got if memory serves, Ben Affleck is still writing the script for the Batman that's coming out. He's no
this
longer
week.
Directing.
Yes.
Well, this week, yes. Yeah. Still starring in it, which I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And Ben Affleck is a damn good writer. I mean, I think we've all seen Argo.
Argo, Gone, Baby, Gone, all those.
Academy Award-winning
yeah.
writer.
Yeah, very good.
never won for acting, and
no,
I see why.
His acting's never bothered me. No, his acting's never bothered me.
No, I'm excited to see what he brings.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's something that I can smile and make jokes about, or whether it's something that just blows me away, like what I saw out of Heath Ledger, Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul. Making Bane actually relevant, you know? I mean, sure, you can mock the voice all you want, but that was a compelling character.
It was a great character. Okay, so what is your, Robbie, your favorite either Batman moment, either movie, TV, comic book, anything particular? Pick one or two that if you were going to say nobody – someone doesn't know anything about Batman, and you just hand them. You gotta see this.
What I would do, I'm gonna. You offered it. I'm gonna take the two.
Mm-hmm.
I would hand them the very first issue of Shadow of the Bat, because that was my very first comic book that I ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
Dark, gritty Batman book. The main villain is Zaz, which is a serial killer. Mm-hmm. So something that you don't see every single day with them. You know, you don't have the caricatures. They're in that book, but I would hand them that and say this. This is what you need to start out with. And then I would also hand them The Dark Knight, because I think...
You mean the movie?
The movie, The Dark Knight. Just because if your question was somebody that's never touched Batman before, what would you hand them? I would hand them those two things, because until you get past one or the other, I don't think you're ready for The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller,
okay.
Which in my opinion isn't just a graphic novel. It's one of the best pieces of contemporary literature that's come out in the last 50 years.
Okay, good point. Dave, favorite Batman moment, ideas about Batman?
I love, and the animated series from the 90s, Joker, which I've already said, but a villain that you don't ever see all that much is Clayface. I just love
Clayface.
I love the idea of Clayface. I'd love to see him be like a live-action villain in an upcoming Batman movie. Because
the reason being, I think it might just be because his origin story or the way they've done it in the past is just so far-fetched than what other more contemporary filmmakers have done that they didn't want to attempt it. But I agree with you. I'm just explaining that away. I agree with you. I just
love the idea of Clayface, where like he's this huge monster. He can turn his arms into axes and swords, like kind of like T-1000. But then he can also blend in and be anybody like T-1000, or like a shapeshifter from like Deep Space Nine and Star Trek, where like everyone in the Federation was scared that shapeshifters were going to take over because they could just look perfectly like you. Like having that kind of camouflage as a Batman villain is just. It would just be so amazing to see live action.
I agree.
Any movies, books, TV shows?
Well, I mean, I can't go wrong with the first Dark Knight movie.
Batman Begins or Dark Knight?
Dark Knight.
Okay, gotcha.
Dark Knight's probably the best of the Batman movies, I think. And then I would tell them to play the Arkham games. The Arkham games are absolutely fantastic.
Oh, agreed. Yeah.
I love those. I mean, I've played a lot of old Batman games, and they weren't great, but the Arkham series like encapsulates what it is to be Batman. They're so great. And there's lots of bad guys, and the stories work pretty good for the most part.
Cool. Yeah.
Solid. They're fun.
Lots of the villains have their own side quests there so that you get to know the lesser known of the Rogues Gallery. You get to find out what makes Calendar Man tick. A little bit more, you know?
Nicely done. Josiah.
He's not wrong. Also, I thought Dave was setting up when he said the villain he wanted to see most. He said, and I was like, condiment?
I do want to see ketchup in your eye, Batman!
I think Condiment King, it's mustard on my hot dog!
Condiment King and Clayface should team up. And Clayface could be a giant hot dog. And then, no.
So
favorite Batman moments, and then also a recommendation, maybe one or two of either books, movies, or that you'd like to.
I think I mirrored Dave's almost exactly, and a little bit of Robbie's really too, because you know Dark Knight, we universally agree, is just
pretty damn good.
Man,
it's a damn near perfect movie, isn't it?
I think so. That was when I got into Batman. Dark Knight,
Dark Knight.
A little bit later than everyone here,
okay.
But that movie, I think I saw four times in theaters. I haven't seen any Star Wars four times in theaters. I've seen them three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David saw Phantom Menace seven times. That's another story.
I'm the king! I'm the king, baby! Robert Formisla's
Watto basically jumped out and goes, "Are you seriously here again?"
Movie, what are you talking about?
I still have nightmares about the fact that I saw it twice in theaters.
We're making all our money off of David Duncan. We'll make an episode to Attack of the Clones.
I couldn't believe it was bad. I just knew I had to be missing something.
I know the feeling.
I had
to get it right, you know.
I was like, I'm just missing something. This movie's great. It's got to be great. And I just kept watching it. And then it's like, by the sixth and seventh time, it's like, why am I doing this to myself?
So great.
George Lucas says he's putting my kids through college.
What a sucker.
And Ashton Kutcher's sitting behind him the entire time, and that right there is the inception of Punked.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Oh, man. Yeah,
so Dark Knight is absolutely it for me. Moment, for some reason, I think, in the middle of the movie, when Joker has basically told Batman, you can go this way or you can go that way to save this person or that person, mm-hmm. and Batman is kind of beating him up and going, where is he? Like, that, for me, was like such a moment when he turns around, is getting his ass kicked, his face punched in, and he's still laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, that was haunting.
Yeah.
It was
brutal. Yeah, yeah.
That hooked me for some reason. I was like, this guy knows what he's doing.
I also love the pencil trick. That was also, that got me.
Oh, my gosh.
What I'll make this pencil disappear.
Josiah, like, what inspires you about Batman, or what when you think, like, you know, Robbie was talking about his idea of, you know, Batman, you know, like his villains kind of are like the shadow of him. Like anything about Batman or Batman universe itself, you know, that you were like, well, this is really fascinating to me.
Well, I guess I can sum it up in 3 points. The villains are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're very intricate, unique, and there's a lot of them. And a lot of them are more famous than some of our superheroes, whether it's Marvel or DC, which is saying a lot. Second of all, kind of what Robbie was saying with how there's the sometimes duality, sometimes the reflection.
Yeah, the black mirror of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the villains he sees.
Not of him himself, but different aspects of him.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he sees a little bit maybe in each of some of those villains, just in an explosive personality. And I think the third part is him overcoming that as someone who really doesn't have superpowers. You know, for what it's worth, he's basically just, you know, your average Joe.
Iron Man sucks.
That's my favorite part of the movie, by the way.
Yeah, Iron Man sucks.
But him having to constantly hold himself to a higher moral standard, I think it's mind-boggling because I don't think, you know, let's be unrealistic here, but if that's in a real-world setting, no one's holding to that moral standard and repeatedly getting dragged down and
or
having all of this on your shoulders.
Or physical standards.
Well, speaking of like the
or physically.
The
and that's why
standard.
I love Batman so much. When you think of the Justice League, here is a mortal man, an average human being that is good enough, that has perfected his body enough to stand there next to a Kryptonian god, an Amazonian queen, the Lord of Atlantis. You know,
he should get destroyed. Yeah.
He has perfected his body, his mind, his prowess, his will.
But he knows how to kill them all.
Excellently, that he's there. It's toe to toe with these godlike beings. And
I wish the ultimate story
of an everyman.
I wish the Batman movies would focus more on the intellect, because I haven't read the old comics. My brother was reading like some of the first Batman comics, where he's basically just a detective who's
the world's greatest detective.
Where he's an asshole, just killing people and shooting people and stuff. I want to see that interpretation of Batman, where he's brutal, he's murderous, but he's like just brilliant.
I don't recall him ever being really murderous. I mean, there have been iterations of him where he does.
But like, where the Batman we've got nowadays, I don't kill people. Like, it's just that's been sort of
like from across the board. Now, like I said, there have been versions where he does kill people. I don't want to say he doesn't. And there is even the killing joke.
Hi, Frank Miller.
Yeah. And there's been, you know, the killing joke has that scene at the very end where some people interpret that he kills the Joker at the end.
Yeah.
The killing joke,
brilliantly written because there's so much ambiguity.
Well, it's Alan Moore. He's brilliant, period.
To this day, I still do not know definitively if Joker ended up raping Barbara Gordon. I think it was left perfectly ambiguous enough to have a conversation, but it makes you uncomfortable either way.
Well, I want to touch on Killing Joke really, really quick, too, because that was another thing for me. I think that scene, particularly in the comic or the film, if you saw that.
Yeah, I was only referring to the comic on that scenario, but yes.
You don't know, and a lot of movies tend to leave stuff ambiguous, but to a point where it almost seems lazy. Like, we couldn't decide, you decide. This was like, no, we're going to challenge you to think about, did it happen or not?
Yeah.
Not a laziness.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very, very spectacular. The other thing was that end scene. So if you saw the animated film, it really resonates where Batman and Joker are at the end. Spoilers. And
they make out.
Laughing.
Damn it. But how did you know? Anyway, they're laughing together. And it shows how close they really are. Like you mentioned earlier, he's one bad day away, Robbie. And that was just – I think the dark element of Batman is what's attractive and almost this creep level.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. This guy, he's so strong. He's setting stuff. He can stand among Superman and Aquaman and be fine. But – he could also turn on them pretty quickly, you know? Like,
exactly.
My gosh, like, this guy could be a loose cannon if he wasn't so strong mentally.
And he has a contingency plan to kill every single one of them.
Well, he's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Absolutely.
I have a plan to kill everyone in the room.
Well, a couple things. I just want to some...
Poison my blood wine?
You're all dead.
The mics zap us.
A couple things I want to just give. First of all, I do love Dark Knight movie. I think it's wonderful. But I think if you haven't seen that movie by now, where have you been living?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Some people, I know, Dave, you mentioned it, but a lot of us, a lot of people might be listening are too young. But Batman, the animated series from the 90s.
Must watch. If you can find this, watch it.
Yes, it's really good. So this is the thing, too. When that came out, it was such a different tone for Batman. And I think they hit on all the marks. It was dark. The cityscape was this noir-looking stories, and everything was dark. Even the panels that they did everything on were painted on black paper. So they did everything.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they
that
worked,
is bizarre.
So they worked from black up.
Oh, wow.
So that's how they did everything to make everything that dark color. And if you
very dark. Yeah.
It's a dark.
It's beautiful, though.
Cartoon. And it's just wonderful.
It's sort of simplistic, too, a little bit in the art. And they probably had to be working with the black paper. But it's still beautifully done in its own art style.
I just like the stories. I thought everything was well done. If you're going to see
– the Joker stories are great.
And you got Mark Hamill doing the Joker and Kevin Conroy doing Batman. So these are all wonderful. Danny Elfman did the original theme song for it. He did most of Tim Burton's stuff. He did what's it called? He did.
I think the theme for the animated series was perfect. I think that's the piece of music that hits my mind when I hear Batman.
So Danny Elfman did Pee Wee's Big Adventure. He did,
which is why
Edward Scissorhands. All these other. I mean, he did all the big themes. So he's real. It's so wonderful music. It's just amazing what they did, and it's been listed as one of the best animated series, just right under The Simpsons of all time best animated series.
Well deserved.
Yeah. The other one I want to just give a recommendation. This is an older comic. I think you can buy the trade back. It's called Gotham by Gaslight. This is Batman has to hunt down Jack the Ripper in like old timey 1800s.
That's really cool.
Wow.
The artist, Mike Mignola, who does Hellboy, does that. And also he has the inker, ink his stuff, Craig Russell. It's just unbelievable. Great. Definitely worth a read. Maybe not quintessential reading, but if you can get your hands on it, wonderful book. Here's where I'm going to get unpopular.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to knock things about Batman a little bit.
Okay. Bring it on.
There's a lot that you could use to do so.
My issue, was it you? I can't. Somebody was saying about how they like Batman being more the detective. You were saying that.
That
right?
Was good.
I just want to see him be more brilliant because he's supposed to be
Arkham
super
games.
Smart.
A little bit,
like in the Arkham game, but in the movies, he's never really portrayed as being.
It's all brooding,
smart.
So my feeling was always. Now I grew up watching the '60s Adam West. Stuff and then reading the comics.
I did too.
The comics did show him. Obviously, he was the brooding character, but he was more of just a detective going out there, and he was, figuring out crimes. And he was brilliant, and he was sort of like a Sherlock Holmes kind of character. Over the years, he just seems to have gotten to like this like super genius who's got like everything figured out. Like we were saying, he's got contingency plans how to kill Superman and get rid of Wonder Woman if he has to. And, you know, okay, I understand it, but I think we've deified him beyond compare, you know? And sometimes I'd like to see Batman kind of like really fall down, but they never give him that fall down moment. Like it's always like he always comes up, always like,
I'm still Batman.
Would you maybe like to see him fall down into a pit, like a pit prison?
Not like that.
He could rise out of that,
yeah,
in fact.
He got out
know?
Of that. He got out of that.
I'll break
Basra,
your back.
Basra, bang, bang, Basra.
But I just think...
I'm sorry, I had to do it.
You know, him fighting Superman, okay. So Frank Miller did that in his comic book, and obviously Batman versus Superman, you know, they basically drew on that scene. And it was amazing when that came out. It was so shocking. And because
the book or the movie?
The book.
Okay.
The book. I mean, the movie, obviously,
the movie
was,
for a second. Like,
the movie was cool. It looked nice.
Yeah.
And I think they hit all the beats pretty much of what they were doing.
My wife went into labor during it. That's not
she
a joke.
A good time.
That's not a joke. To this day, she maintains it was a good way to spend the early hours of labor. It was better than the labor pain.
Ow.
Better than labor
movie.
Pain.
Better than labor pain. Go see it now.
It may or may not be the reason my son has so much Batman apparel. I don't know.
But,
he does.
But my thought before that. I mean, Batman and Superman, they had the Detective Comics or the World's Finest Comics, where Batman and Superman would team up together to solve crimes and beat supervillains. It was just cool because they were buddies. They were friends. And now all of a sudden, like, they've made Superman and Batman, like, always going at loggerheads at each other. Like, they always said, like, look, like, if
Martha! Martha!
If you know Superman's a big lovey-dovey and he cares about everybody, he's not going to kill everybody, maybe you're a little suspicious at first, but at a certain point you must realize that Superman isn't going to kill everybody because he could have done it a long time ago. I mean, just do the goddamn math in your head.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the Injustice games, where they do take on that point where Superman did kill everybody.
I was just about
crazy.
To bring up Injustice,
but
because
Injustice,
I thought that was a brilliant book.
Injustice is post-Frank Miller. And everything that came after that, because all of a sudden that came out, and they see Batman kicking the shit out of Superman, and they're thinking like, wow, Batman can beat up Superman? It was a game changer. Everyone all of a sudden just thought completely different of Batman, and Batman just since then has gotten bigger and bigger on the world scale. Not to say he wasn't big before. I'm just saying he's now like can go toe-to-toe with Batman, and nobody thinks twice about it.
Yeah.
Before it was like, hey, Superman just rip his head off if he had to. He's just like, before he could even act, you're dead. You can't even see him coming, you know? I mean, it's like, so, I mean, that's my issue. I think we've gotten this Batman to such a high level. And I mean, I'll even say the same thing. Wonder Woman growing up, you know, she was a tough character, but she couldn't go toe-to-toe with Superman. But now suddenly she can. You know,
well, I think the Flash is way too powerful. Like, me and my coworker get into fights over the Flash all the time.
Well,
like,
Flash,
the Flash, like, he's like, he uses the Speed Force, which is like the fast version of the Star Wars Force. And just like, I don't know, like, they should have the same power as Quicksilver, but somehow, because in the DC universe, the Flash's powers, like, you can do anything by running fast. I'm just kind of like, oh, come on.
I guess my thing
is. Yeah, the Grant Guster, though.
I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying.
That's my only argument. I got Dave. I've got nothing else. I've got a name. I got nothing else.
I guess my feeling is that I'd like to see most of the heroes maybe powered down slightly. I think we've gotten to these like huge like god levels, and it's just like, okay, there's only so far you can take that after a while. Like,
right? What's the new ceiling?
It's like all of a sudden now he's omnipotent and he can see through time and space. You know,
that is a very good point, because you're right. You're seeing Batman becoming progressively more powerful,
yeah,
and you're seeing Superman being nerfed. And I'm all for Superman being nerfed.
I don't have a problem with Superman. But I think he gets a little boring because he gets too tough, and even Superman I think has become a little bit too powerful in some ways, but. I would like to bring everybody down. I like heroes that have limits to them, that they can't always break through the wall, and you know, maybe they got to think their way through an issue or a problem. That's what Batman used to do. I mean,
be part of the reason Marvel does so well nowadays. Those heroes don't feel like they're invincible to me. Anytime it's an MCU film, they obviously you think they're going to come out on top, but like. There's a battle to be had.
They're sometimes battling with themselves. And what's great about this, all the TV Netflix series, mm-hmm. all these heroes are underpowered heroes. You know,
yeah.
They're almost
human.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Luke Cage, you know, can't be hurt, you know, but he still has ways he can get, you know,
people can get on top of him and, you know, beat him. Same thing with Jessica Jones. You know, obviously Daredevil's got his problems too, yeah. You know. So
and coming soon.
Yeah, and yeah.
Danny Rand.
But it's all interesting because all of a sudden there's like an edge like, oh, they might not make it. You know, they might not – and that's – you know, when you watch a Superman movie, well, he's going to figure it out. He's Superman. You know, it's like yeah. There's no point where you go like –
take your pick.
Yeah, it's like, right. You know, like Batman's like, you know, I'm Batman. It's, okay, what does that mean? Oh, nothing – you can nobody can defeat you?
It means I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to a lot of the crossovers, I think that's really when you start to see those glaring problems like what you're saying. When you get to – Batman v Superman, and then you're throwing Wonder Woman and Aquaman splashes in there somehow as well. You know, I maintain my previous statement, but I agree with what you're saying. They all become OP. That's why I like the Rogues Gallery for Batman so much is because they humanize him.
Exactly. You know? And that's what makes him interesting.
If they stick more to that, he becomes more compelling.
And I like when Batman's more of on that street level, you know, jumping from rooftop to rooftop, you know, beating criminals. And, you know, maybe he has to go find the Riddler or fight Clayface or something like that. But, you know, that's part of the whole scenario. So that's what I enjoy with Batman more than anything. And I hope that that gets more, you know, put back into where I think he's more comfortable. This whole over-the-top Batman gets on my nerves. I guess that's all. And honestly, the deification of Batman kind of pisses me off too a little bit. I think he could just people settle down. The same thing I felt with Wolverine. You know,
I'm with you on Wolverine.
Wolverine gets a yeah. little bit like, okay, you like Wolverine. You know? I don't have a problem with Wolverine, but it's like everyone's like, who's your favorite super? Wolverine?
Until Logan, which just came out this weekend, until that movie came out, I couldn't stand Wolverine. He was my least favorite X-Men in the cartoon series. I hated the movies, and I hated Wolverine. So I get what you're saying.
And I don't hate Batman, and I don't hate Wolverine. It's just like, it seems like the obligatory thing that anybody says, like, you know, oh, I like, you know, because they don't have... They're not really into anything. They're just saying it.
It's too mainstream almost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, okay,
ready for that with Logan and Wolverine because that's going to take off here.
I know it will.
It's kind of like Star Trek for Star Wars. Star Wars is too mainstream and Star Trek is not.
Yeah. Right. Well,
not as much anyway.
So any other last thoughts on Batman anyone wants to throw out?
Last thing I want to touch on is just marking this moment in history. Who do we think the big bad is going to be for the upcoming The Batman?
Ooh, oh, gosh.
That's a good question.
Just like a little premonition into the future.
Why don't you throw out, and let me think about it for a second, because you obviously had this question
all right.
pre-formulated in your head.
Here's what I want. Here's what I think. What I want to see Catwoman again. Okay, I really loved Anne Hathaway's portrayal. I thought that Christopher Nolan nailed it with that. I want Batman out there on a pussy hunt, okay? I want to see Catwoman.
Hey-o.
What I think we're going to be getting, I think we're going to get Penguin. And I think we're going to get an interesting version of Penguin, just a stunted, broken-kneed dude that just happens to run gangland. I don't need to see Danny DeVito eating fish.
Oh, you mean like the Gotham's portrayal?
I like Danny DeVito.
Similar to a Gotham's portrayal.
I love Gotham's
hardcore.
Portrayal of the yes. Penguin.
His Penguin is so... Yeah. And, you know, Gotham
it's
has
on
a
point.
One rung.
It's on point.
To me, that,
Gotham has Fish Mooney, and for that there is no apology.
You
cannot be forgiven for your Fish Mooney.
Damn you, Fish Mooney! Yeah.
But their portrayal of Penguin is... Fucking on point.
I root for him.
I wish the show was called Penguin because he's my favorite character in the show.
I would watch the shit
Are you guys
out of
caught
that.
Up? I got them.
I'm not. I have
okay.
not seen.
I won't say
I'm not, but I don't care yet. As much. I
don't care.
Read
I don't care about
the spoilers
either. So you can say what you want.
I don't, you know, Gotham, it seems like there's a good episode every three episodes.
Exactly.
It's not a great
That's
show.
That's how it seems
exactly.
lately.
It's not.
Like season two was really hit and miss for me. Season one was really good. Season two was hit and miss, and I haven't seen season
it
three
It goes
yet.
Back to depending on who the villain is, honestly. Mm-hmm. And they pull from the rogues very nicely. They go here, they go there. You're like, oh my gosh, they're actually including this person. There's a little bit to make it, they could do to make the show a little bit better, but Penguin has been a constant awesome piece of the show since day one when it came out
yes.
3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of thinking I had not thought about in any capacity who might the villain be in the Batman movie that's coming out in a few years. And now the wheels are turning.
With the popularity of the Penguin in Gotham and with what you can do in the cinematic universe as opposed to just on a regular network show, mm-hmm. it makes sense to me to see Penguin.
He could be the guy.
On the big
He's vulnerable.
Screen.
He could. Yes. He could be a little bit. You know, no one's going to be Heath Ledger as the Joker, but he could take up some of the same vein as that a little bit.
He could. I mean, you also have the political connotation as well. I mean, he ran for mayor previously. What if he's running for a congressman now or something? And you don't even need that, but what if? You know, just...
There's a good backstory there to be had.
I think it's just brilliant. Like I said before, the Rogues Gallery is brilliant with what it can do to Bruce Wayne and Batman as far as a character. I think the same could be equally said with the movies and the times. Holding a black mirror up to the times that we live in. I think that the Penguin would be an excellent addition to the cinematic Rogues Gallery. Because as much as I love Danny DeVito...
I liked it. I liked it. I liked it too, but now we're
in a post-Nolan world.
Well, of course.
You know?
Yeah. It's a different world since then.
Exactly. I liked it for what it was back then. I still like it for what it was now, but we're in a post-Nolan world, and I think that they can do a gritty version of that, a realer version of that.
I would like to see, and this is by no means, I don't think this is going to happen, but I just think I would like to see the Riddler. I would like to
see... Another great choice.
I would like to... more of like a Saw movie where he's trying to save people who are obviously in these disgusting, awful, you know, traps and he has to figure out the... I mean, this is him doing his investigation work and running around. And
that was my prediction for the third Christopher Nolan Batman movie, too.
That's what it should have been.
I thought so, too.
I thought that's what it was going to be.
That's really what it should have been.
Exactly what you said, Saw. Yeah. Like the Riddler as Jigsaw type deal. That was my prediction, Matt. I love where your brain is at.
I feel like that was going to happen at some point, and something changed.
Yeah, Heath Ledger died.
You know what I mean.
We get into the things where, you know, obviously Jim Carrey was, you know, it was a funny idea, but it was just like corny. And obviously you got this the 60s Riddler, who's great at the time, but, you know, I think we get this idea as a guy who's in this green suit and he's got all these question marks all over him. And it's like we just think, oh, that's corny. But I think he could have such a, like, a great setting up all
this. Gotham's portrayal of him is also really good.
Go back to Gotham.
Yeah, no.
The two characters they do best, it's funny that we're mentioning.
It's true.
Are Penguin and Riddler.
Yeah.
Or Edward Nygma. And he is a dark, twisted version of Riddler. And when Gotham comes back in the end of April, which is very weird that that's the mid-season break, by the way. But it comes back April 24th. It's going to be his arc. Mm-hmm. To really become in the Riddler. Like, the teaser has him in a green suit. Not a cheesy suit. Like a snazzy, very dark green suit. Like, he is so well done, his portrayal of him, that I think that would be another great option.
Yeah. Now, even though Gotham isn't a part of the Berlantiverse, I still include it in my statement. DC does phenomenal with the TV shows. The movies right now are lacking as far as what they've been doing, Suicide Squad and whatnot. But I want to see more of what they've done on shows.
They could kick it out of the park if they had like a – if they really – you know, because, you know, Warner Brothers has been really pushing the dark edge, and I think that's where Batman lives. So maybe this will be it. Who wants to go next for Robbie's
question? Like I said earlier, I would want to see Clayface.
That would be great, too.
Next one.
I think it would be really interesting.
An amazing
– and we have the tech – I mean the CGI for that nowadays.
Yeah. I mean I think it could be done really, really well. That's what I want to see. Who I think it would probably be, or I guess my next hope. I mean, with all the stuff on climate change happening now, I could see maybe Poison Ivy being
an eco-terrorist
and do her decently. You know,
not
the horrible thing from, you know, the Batman and Robin.
Uma Thurman
was bad. I love Uma Thurman, but it just that was not good in that movie. But if they could do like a serious, like dark, gritty version, like for the Batman world of have Poison Ivy be, and especially with all the stuff going on with, you know, we're like days away from like it being irreversible and whatnot, I could definitely see Poison Ivy being relevant to the times.
She's sexy and yet deadly, and she's a great character.
You could do some nice CG stuff with her.
And then they could change her real name to Martha, and Bruce Wayne would be like, I don't know if I can hit you, Martha.
Even if you don't get her powers, you could turn her into an eco-terrorist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, like,
that's right.
12 monkeys.
She doesn't have to be,
There's so much stuff they could do with a Poison
Ivy. Greenpeace taken to its natural conclusion, man.
I mean, they could do so much with it, especially with the times now. I think her being in a movie, I think that would be a sign of the time. You know, just if they're trying to be, you know, I lost the word. What's Star Trek?
sci-fi series. No, Star Wars, anyways.
No, no, Allegorical.
Or allegorical.
Star Trek's allegorical. That's what I was trying to say.
Come on, Aaron.
It would be allegorical to... It'd be allegorical to the time. You're the one only one not drinking.
How did you know that?
I know. Well,
what is Star Trek?
I was about to offer contemporary. I didn't know what we were.
Me and Dave have been married. Me and Dave have been married for almost 3 years now. I should have got this. So. Win, lose, or draw, or what was that? Pictionary, where couples always lose.
Having Poison Ivy be the bad guy would be allegorical to our times.
I agree. Good choice.
Josiah, anything, ideas on that?
I really like the choices presented already. My take might be unpopular.
Tournament King?
No, I want someone new. Someone that new. Has not yet appeared in the Batman history of anything that has happened with his lore.
King Tut.
So it kind of worked a little bit in Arkham Knight in a way. Did you play Arkham Knight?
Is that the newest one?
Yes.
I have not put the newest one.
Okay. So they created a new villain called the Arkham Knight, who, I'm not going to spoil
it. Looks like Batman.
Looks like Batman is a very, I guess, a good match for Batman, we'll say. Very close in philosophy, just on the other side of the fence. Kind of like Joker in a way. But anyway, I would like someone new here. I think that might breathe a little life into this because... I almost feel like at this point, anytime we see a Batman villain on screen, it's like, this person's playing him. Oh my gosh, they did it this way. Let's just get someone new in there. I think that would intrigue me the most. But I really like both of Dave and Robbie's choices in what they brought up.
What about anybody read The Court of Owls?
Yes.
No, but that's where actually Gotham is right now.
Okay.
In the series.
So that would be interesting too if they threw that into there.
That's big.
Okay. So. A lot of different ways. Who knows? I don't think they've given any...
They haven't given any sort of indication they're rewriting the script now. I just thought that it would be kind of cool
maybe
just to
maybe
down
just
our
be
predictions.
Joker. Maybe it'll just be Joker. They'll throw
I
him.
Hope not.
As long as it's not Jared Leto.
Especially Jared Leto Joker. Yeah, so it probably will be.
I hope not. Give us something that we haven't seen on screen in a while. Maybe it will. Maybe it will, but...
That's the easy way out, and I can see DC doing that.
I'd go for any of our suggestions over the Joker.
But I can't see Ben Affleck doing that. Not when he's behind the keyboard.
Make Robin the villain.
Something new? Again? There you go.
You could still have Poison Ivy as the villain at that point. Have her given like one of those spores from South Africa that kind of fuck with your brain. You know, one of the zombie plants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not the ones that they have down in Haiti that was from Serpent and the Rainbow, but...
Something similar, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, Yes. So now you're getting the best of both worlds.
There you go.
Have fun.
I'm sorry. I'm way too animated about this.
He's into it.
Just do it. DC, I hope you're listening to a Star Trek podcast.
DC.
To a Star Trek podcast. What if there's one guy that's like, you know, I really like.
Ben Affleck. Hey. Listen to us here. We know what we're talking about. We're the fanboys. We're going to be paying for it. All right. Yeah. Take any of the ideas here.
I guarantee
any
it.
One of them.
If not, you're losing $40 worth of revenue in this
there
very room.
I know. It's going to hurt you.
Well, we'll just retweet this to him. Eventually, he'll read it. Or he'll listen to it.
Read it.
Yeah, I'll send him the transcript of the podcast.
Yeah, he won't read that either.
600 pages?
Of dick jokes.
Suddenly, the transcript from this podcast becomes the next Batman movie. Right, yeah. Dude, you're phoning it in now. It's all downhill after Argo.
They couldn't decide who they wanted to see who the villain was. They talked about Legos. It was weird.
The only thing is, I hope they don't do multiple villains. I think every film always falls apart. Pick one. Focus on that hero. I mean that villain.
I think that's what killed me about The Dark Knight Rises. That like, oh, Bane's the bad guy. And then it's like, oh, wait, bait and switch. Talia al Ghul was the bad guy. You see her for 5 seconds.
Well, they did the same thing with Batman Begins, too.
And then Bane is like the henchman the entire time. Like, that's
it didn't bother me.
I don't know.
I don't mind having multiples in the movie, but when they're both supposed to be vying for equal... You know, screen time.
Well, it's like Joker and Two-Face. I thought Two-Face, obviously they did him well, but I just think you didn't get a lot from him.
Exactly.
You know? And I felt kind of bad. I was like, oh, man, it would be nice to see more Two-Face.
Yeah.
I mean, another example, Batman Begins. You've got Ra's al Ghul, who, you know, that movie brought him into the forefront of everybody's mind, but you also had Scarecrow.
Scarecrow's
and I felt that Scarecrow was way underutilized in that movie, despite the fact that he was supposed to be the big bad.
Mm.
Then Ra's al Ghul pops up. Ra's al Ghul's what everybody thinks of when they think of Batman Begins now. They even forget the Scarecrow's in it.
My friend, also writer for the Geekiverse, Jeff Pavlock, thinks that is the best movie in that trilogy.
Batman Begins? There's an argument to be made. I mean, I'm not going to tell him he's wrong. It's personal politics, it gets
the ball rolling. But
I'll tell him he's wrong. My only issue,
I think it starts off great. I think the end... Yeah. They say you're wrong.
Tell him it's Batman and Robin.
Yeah, this is awkward. We decided you're wrong.
The best was actually Batman and Robin. You know, the film that almost killed comic book movies forever before Blade came out?
So, yeah, we're going to need you to go rethink your opinion.
Flash forward, like, you know, 3 hours later, he's laying in bed just staring at the ceiling like, what? Where did I go wrong?
What was I thinking? I'm so sorry.
Three assholes he never met before.
Oh, I've met Jeff.
Oh, all right. So two assholes.
I could just see that now. Everybody says that you're wrong. Who said that?
Everybody! That matters.
All right, well, let's bring this to a show to a close before everyone starts wrestling with their shirts off.
Already there.
Dave's taking a shirt off. Josiah, where can we find you in the big world of the internet?
So on Twitter, at Josiah D. Leroy, my company is The Geekiverse. You can go to thegeekiverse.com, youtube.com/thegeekiverse. We're all over, folks. So let's, like we said before, Geek Madness this month, go submit your bracket. Oogie Games is sponsoring that, so they're giving away a number of video games as well as a retro gaming system. I submitted my bracket this morning. Yes, you were the first one. Thank you very much.
Yes! So, I win!
By the way, who did you predict was going to win?
I think it came down to Kirk versus the Borg Queen, and I did Kirk.
Oh, of course it did! On a Star Trek podcast! Who'd you pick? I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Kirk,
okay.
Borg Queen!
If anyone could seduce and beat the Borg Queen, it would be Kirk.
Okay, fair enough. We've got that going on a lot of Nintendo Switch coverage.
I just wanted to be the opposition party to you.
You would do that. So, Lego Batman, we talked about, obviously, for bulk of this, we started a new series called Geek Poetry, which is kind of a little bit funny and cheesy. It's supposed to be, by the way. On YouTube, I did a poem about Lego Batman. It's kind of ridiculous. So you can find that again at youtube.com/thegeekiverse.
You should start doing haikus.
Haikus. Haikus. So, yeah. But that's me.
Great. Robbie?
Obviously, you guys love listening to podcasts. Feel free to check out Couldn't Be Models every single Friday for your weekly dose of free funny. No. Couldn't Be Models is on Monday.
Oh.
Make sure you check out Couldn't Be Models every Monday for your weekly dose of free funny, and Nerdynomicon on Fridays. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Artful Gremlins, and you can email me artfulgremlin without the S at gmail.com.
Dave, Synthaholics, talk us out.
Yeah, we're Synthaholics.com. You can find us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. Our podcast drops on Tuesday. That's where you can find our show. I'm personally David_J_Duncan. We have a YouTube channel. Check us out. Cooking with you, where I make Klingon blood wine. I review the Klingon blood wine, and then I unbox a Wii. I mean, not a Wii.
With a sword.
By the way, I've been drinking this during the show. It's delicious.
Oh, good, good.
It's delicious. What was the second one?
It was called the Borg Sphere.
Okay, Mountain Dew-ish kind. Yes. Okay, that was my favorite, actually.
Yeah, that one's my favorite.
Like, that can get you messed up.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty right now.
I'm not trying.
I feel like the Dark Knight right now, dude. And I'm rising.
Look forward to more Cooking with EU on the YouTube. I might drop one of those, like, you know, once a month, maybe twice a month. I still haven't got it all figured out yet, but check us out there as well.
Cool.
Aaron.
I'm Blackbird2004 on Twitter. You can tweet me if you disagree with my Batman take.
If you think Batman should be elevated to even higher godhood, email. Tweet at
nuts.
You're crazy. And I'll be sitting there at
night. Crusader is beyond Zeus.
Staring at the ceiling at night. Where did I go wrong? I do that anyways.
Aaron, everybody says that you're wrong here.
Everybody!
That matters.
Jeff tweets you tonight and is like, yeah, you're totally wrong, man. What? Podcast isn't even out yet.
I'm hiding in the corner. By the condiments.
I'm TK421 over here.
So, Nerds Around Table, we're doing this, obviously, kind of a marriage of different podcasts. We're all getting together to talk about certain subjects. Let us know. Tweet us any of these that we've given you. Obviously, these will be in the show notes that you can see. And, you know, let us know what you think. Give us feedback. Do you agree with us, disagree with us, any other thoughts you might have? So, you know, definitely hit us up and let us know what you think.
For the first episode of Geeks of the Roundtable, Nerds of the Roundtable, check out the Geekiverse channel. For the proto episode, check out
Nerdynomicon
for the four rogues on Rogue One.
And ironically, it is the Rogue One spoiler cast, and it's, you know, the prequel to the Nerds of the Roundtable.
It is.
Essentially,
like,
yeah.
Rogue One was the prequel to
it. Was, it was, in fact, Episode Zero, which is what we called Rogue One during that show.
It is fate intertwined.
Weird stuff.
So
okay, Aaron's clearly the only one not buying in here. Let's go, guys.
Yeah, so the next one will be out next month on Robbie's channel.
Yeah. Next one will be on Nerdynomicon.
So we want you to go find all these podcasts, listen to them, so you can find this show. So have a lot of fun with that.
Absolutely. Cool stuff. Thanks for listening.
Iron Man sucks. Have a good night, everybody.
My name is a killing word. Johnny!
No!
Face the balls of the penis.
Cool, buddies.
Woo!
That's good.
That was a lot of fun.
Do a quick, just solo talk in your mic.
Yeah, I got the recorder going, so.
Solo talk in my mic. Red Cup. Star Wars Red Cup. Can't wait. It's going to be a great movie.
Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk. We're going to sit here for friends and we're going to babble about the bat. That's what we're going to do.
Na 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 na, Bat Babble.
Batman, my butt.
What? Batman in the butt.
My butt.
Oh,
my
butt. You guys already know that I'm going to be animated as fuck, so. Just in case this plays any sort of interference.
It's just
that off.
Huh?
Check Josiah's mic. It still sounds really quiet.
Which one's Josiah's?
Second one?
You want a different one? Hey, this is a brand new mic.
Is it on? Does it have a switch?
Mm-hmm.
It is on.
Nope.
Oh.
Now talk.
I was like, did that?
I was like, man, it doesn't sound like it's on.
Oh,
are you trying to be quiet again, Josiah?
No.
I don't.
The worst thing happened. 2 weeks ago, maybe three, we shot a Mass Effect video for like 10 minutes on just tips and tricks for new piece.
Okay.
We had lapel mics for the first time. I did not turn mine on. We had to do it over. I thought it was a really good take, and sure enough. Yeah.
Oh, that's how it always goes.
Well, my beard got in the way of the lapel mic whenever whenever Adam set one up with me. I was like doing this because it was over here. I'm looking at Pete over here. And so every time I would look directly at Pete, it would go.
We're like, Dave, we need you to be like this.
Just swivel, Dave. Swivel.
Mac. Mac David.
Mac Duncan.
Mac Duncan.
Love it. Good stuff.